You are now listening to an awesome sermon from the St. Louis Dream Center. Grab a pen and some paper. You're in for a treat.
When our kids were younger, there was a ritual that we had every single night. It would happen at 10 o'clock. Every single night at 10 o'clock, no matter what we were doing, no matter what we were engaged in, they would hear me say this phrase, "All right, kids, it's time to go to bed." And I mean, we could be in the heart of games or talking or playing. It did not matter. When 10 o'clock hit, "All right, y'all, time to go to bed." Our kids are grown now. And when 10 o'clock hits, sometimes they still joke and they say, "Is it time for us to get off the phone or go, you know, while they're off at school?" Because here's the thing. All day long, me and Ange have been working and doing things. We get off work and we parent and we cook dinner. And Ange would help with homework. Notice I didn't say we. I said Ange would. They didn't want me helping with homework. All day long, we've been investing in all of these other areas. But when 10 o'clock hits, how many of y'all know that's mom and dad time? And at that time, I would shut the door. Sometimes lock the door. Because that would keep your mind. I heard that giggle. Keep your mind out the dirt. Come on, keep it Christian. We in God's house. I heard that. Because I wanted, and I instituted this, because I wanted uninterrupted time with her. And we knew at 10 o'clock, listen, after it started, you know, kind of not being that way, but then after a while of enforcing the fact, "Hey, 10 o'clock is our time, 10 o'clock is our time, you don't want to bust through that door," just saying, it's our time. And it was uninterrupted time, because this is my wife, my bride. And since this is my bride, I have a covenant right to have uninterrupted times when I designate that I want uninterrupted times. Have you ever been doing something that you enjoyed and somebody called you and interrupted it? Watching your favorite show and somebody called you and interrupted it. Or maybe you were engaged in your favorite book and somebody interrupted it. Isn't it irritating when somebody is consistently interrupting the thing that you want to do? See, when something interrupts, it causes a break. There is a moment in time where something that was going on is now discontinued. Something that is a flow is discontinued, is interrupted, is interfered with, and it messes up the continuity and the uniformity of the thing that you were doing. God wants uninterrupted time with you. The whole thing we've been talking about with the end, it's not just a series of events that are ugly and heinous and all of this. The whole thing about the end is God went back to the beginning and said, "I didn't create you to be separated from you. I created you so that we could fellowship together without interruptions." Back in 1996, I've been saved at this time for about 4.5 years. I had been called to ministry for 2 years at this time. And I've been in great church services and just, you know, the power of God moving, all of that. But I ended up going out to this church in Chesterfield called St. Louis Family Church on a Friday night. And when I went out there, we prayed, and there was something that happened to me that night that would radically change my Christian walk. And I never knew what it meant. I never heard anybody talk about it before, but I am there and I could sense the tangible breath of God on me. It was like God had wrapped his arms around me, showered me with his love. Can I tell you, it was a joy that I didn't even think existed before. It was a light that I never even knew was true before. See, I was somewhat religious. I knew to go to church. I knew to get up on Sunday morning and be at, you know, Sunday school. I understood what it meant to read my Bible sometime. But when I had that moment in 1996, there was something in that experience that would change me forever. It was so impactful that I went out and bought this book by Sam Hinn called Changed in His Presence. And as I begin to read this book, it began to talk about how God is a living presence, that he is alive. And I know he's alive and you understand that here, but I learned that night here that he's alive. That he is living, that he's not just with me, he's in me, with me, around me, that his personal presence is with me everywhere that I go. God doesn't just show up in my life on a Sunday morning. He was with me every day. And it got me thinking. So what is this thing? And that's why I began to study it. I began to research it. His presence. And he took me back to the beginning. And he said in Genesis, where he's saying, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air. And let them have dominion over all of the living things. And when I begin to study this out, he said, let's make them in our image and our likeness. Why was that important? Because God wanted somebody that could fellowship with him on his level. The birds were created, but they couldn't do it. The whales were created, but they couldn't do it. He wanted some being to be able to talk to him like man to man or woman to woman. He wanted somebody on his level. Do you realize today that you were created on God's level? I know. Because you think just puny old you. If you know Jesus, you're not puny old you. You are a powerful you, created in God's image and God's likeness. You have the ability to speak directly to the Almighty, and he has the ability to speak directly to you. And he isn't just interested in paying your bills. And he's not just interested in giving you a new house. And he's not interested only in getting you into the college that you want, or getting you the girl that you want, or getting you the thing that you want. No, he's interested in you. He wants you. He wants to be with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to hang with you. He wants to sleep with you. He wants you. If nobody else wants you, if nobody else wants to be around you, God longs to spend time with you. And he said, I created them in my image and my likeness. And then he created this place called Eden. The word Eden means paradise. So hear me. He created the earth, the sun, the stars, the moon. He created all of the things. Then he created us. Because he said, I didn't create the moon and the stars just to create them. I created them for you. After I created the sun, I said, good. After I created the cows, I said, good. After I created the moon, I said, good. But after I created you, I said, very good. You were the ultimate of my creation, and I created all of this. I love the way David put it. He said, when I think of creation, the moon and the stars and everything in place, what is man that thou art mindful of? Because he wanted you. And he said, I'm going to create a perfect environment where you and I can hang out every day is the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that God would walk in the cool of the day. Adam. So what are we going to name today? We'll name the eagle. Now, you know what? You name him. What's that? God, that's a bluebird. Okay, it's a bluebird. What's that? Cardinal. What's that? A lion. Okay. yeah, yeah, that's good. And it was an uninterrupted flow. Adam didn't have evil thoughts. He only had God thoughts. Adam had perfect peace, perfect joy. A matter of fact, in the presence of God, in that perfect environment, he didn't need healing. He had perfect health. He didn't need provision because God was his provision. In this perfect environment, in God's perfect presence, uninterrupted, Adam didn't have to beg for anything, ask for anything, declare anything, decree anything. He didn't have to know scripture. Why? Because he knew the God of the scripture. His thoughts were God's thoughts, and God's thoughts were his thoughts, and there was nothing to separate them at all. I'm going somewhere. There was no interruption. We were able with God to dance in sync. When God said, Adam, go left, Adam went left. When God said, Adam, go right, go right. And there was no interruption to the flow of their fellowship together. See, what I see about this in God's presence in the Garden of Eden, and I'm going somewhere. I'm laying a foundation for where we're headed. There was no hindrance. There was no sickness. There was no poverty. There was no pain. There was no heartache. There was no migraines. There was no arthritis. There was no diabetes. There was no high blood pressure. There was no gout. There was no mental illness. There was nothing. It was a perfect environment with a perfect God and a perfect flow without any interruptions. And then chapter 3 happened. And the Bible says that the serpent was in the field and more clever. And God said, listen, all of this is yours, except this one tree. And he told Adam. And it was there that Adam, understanding the beauty of everything that he had with God, not thinking about anything else, God was even so cool that God said, Adam, it's not even good that you be alone. I got a word for somebody today. In God's presence is your husband. In God's presence is your wife. In God's presence is that thing. God was so in tune with Adam and where he was. He said, listen, son, I get you. You're cool. I see what you do with the cows and with the horses, and that's cool, but you need somebody on your level. I'm going to take something out of you and create something for you. Because in God's presence, hear me, he knows exactly what you need. And when it's not hindered, he can get it to you. And then we have this moment where the Bible talks about Eve being tricked into eating the fruit and then Adam eating the fruit. And it was here that the interruption happened. And it was in this place that he said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He says, now I can't let him eat the tree of life, because if I let him eat the tree of life, he'll be separated from me forever. He'll be like this forever. So I'm going to have to kick him out of my presence. The interruption. And guess what else was interrupted? Perfect health, perfect provision, perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect life. That it was interrupted in that moment because sin came into the world and interrupted it. Listen to what the writer said, that in your presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He says also in Exodus 33 that my presence will go with you and it will give you rest everywhere that you go. Psalms 23, 1 and 6. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. He told Moses, Moses said, I don't want to go. Moses, go, I'm with you. Gideon said, I don't want to do this. God said, no, you can go because I'm with you. David said, you're with me, so I won't have to fear. Abraham, I'm with you when you go. And when that moment happened, God in the Garden of Eden had to have a provision to make up for what we gave up. And when we gave up, I'm going here. When we gave up his presence for something lesser, we missed out on everything that he has in store for us. When we gave up his presence because we valued something more, we were the ones that were missing. And it wasn't God's fault. And when we allow our interruptions to keep us from his presence, we stay sick, we stay broke, we stay without peace. We stay without joy. We think we got to do it. We're stressed out. We're worried. We're anxious. We're fearful. We're all of that. Why? Because we have allowed things to interrupt his presence, like Adam allowed sin to come in and interrupt his presence. But God said, I'm about to restore uninterrupted worship. The whole goal of the end times is to bring us back to the place where he can fellowship with us without interruption. He says, I love worship service on Sunday, and I love that you come, but you dismiss me Monday through Saturday. That's not uninterrupted. I love the fact that you wake up and you study the word in the morning and you pray, but the rest of the day you forget all about me. That's interrupted. I want uninterrupted, unadulterated time with you so that I can talk to you and you can talk to me so that we can dance together and figure this thing out. For you, the presence of God. Do you realize today that the God of this universe wants you so bad that he's gone to crazy extents to have you even when you don't want him? Even when you don't care about him, even when you're too busy for him, even when you're too distracted for him, even when you're too whatever for him, he's like, but I want you. And you're like, but God, I got this man. I need to give him my time. But he says, but I want you. I got these kids. I got to give them all my time. But I want you. You say, God, I got this job that doesn't allow me to go to church. But I want you. And God's like, I want you. And you're like, God, but I want other things. And he's like, but I want you. He says, I want you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want to fellowship with you. When sin interrupted our fellowship, Jesus came to take care of the interruption. And now the thing that used to keep us from God can no longer keep us from God. But guess what keeps us from God? We keep us from God. Now sin no longer has the power. The devil no longer has the authority. But we keep us from God because we have now put so many things ahead of him. And God is like, it's time for my church to get back to the place where they value me again. Not a service, not a preacher, not a pastor, not a anything. That you set your focus solely on me again. It is that experience in 1996 that shifted the trajectory of my life. And what I began to learn was, well, your presence. I need your presence. And here's the thing. It's not that God's not always present. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always present. We're just not aware. And he says, what I want to do for you is I want to give you an awareness of my presence. I'm always with you, whether you feel me or not, whether you have goosebumps or not, whether you have tingling or not, whether you have a sensing or not. I told you, I'm with you. See, here's the power. When we understand God's presence is in his word, and his word directs us in how he does things. And what happens is when I understand that his presence is in his word, I don't need to feel it to know that it's real. But if I don't understand that also his presence is in his spirit and I don't know the word of God, what happens is I get weird. He says, right where you are, right in your mess, I'm with you. I promise you I'd never leave you or forsake you. I know you are in the most difficult season of your life and you feel like I am not there. He says, I am right there. Every tear you cry, I'm right there. Every moment of frustration, I am right there. I know you feel all by yourself. I know you feel that I'm not there. I am right there with you. And there are moments when you can't trace me, you've got to trust me. I am right there. I know that your family's abandoned you. I know that nobody's talking to you. I know that you've done everything you know to do, but I am right there. And all I need you to do is wake up for a moment and become aware that I'm there. And this is where I want to land you. Because it's interesting that life can go good and then an interruption comes. My career is going good. And then the interruption of a layoff. My marriage is going good. And then the interruption of problems come up. And he said, listen, I told you in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome everything that you're facing. So then, God, how do I do this thing, life, when there are all these interruptions between you and I? And today I want to teach you something. I want to teach you that when life hits you the hardest, when you're going through the most difficult season, there is a hiding place that you can go to. There is a shelter that you can run to. And when you run to this shelter, all hell could be breaking loose on the outside of you, but on the inside of you, peace is still. That when you are running through all types of issues and all types of situations, that although everything is speaking against you, I have a hiding place that you can run to where I can calm the storm in you while I'm working on the storm outside of you. But here's what we've got to learn. These three things. Concerning God's presence, we got to prize it. What does that mean? We got to value his presence. We place value on all these other things. We place value on our favorite show. We place value on our favorite activity. We place value on our kids, and we place a value on our husbands and our wives, but we're forgetting to place value on God. And we're the ones begging him and asking him to come to our aid when he says, if you would just prize me, aid would take care of itself. I love this statement by A.W. Tozier. He says, too often we give God only the tired remnants of our time. If Jesus Christ had given us only the remnant of his time, we would all be on our way to that darkness that knows no morning. Christ gave us not the tattered leftovers of his time. He gave us all the time he had. But some of us give him only the leftovers of our money. That's why you're broke. That's why you're broke. You say, well, I can't afford the tithe. That's why you're broke. I can't afford to give. That's why you're broke. When you break that spirit of mammon, break the money spirit off of you, that's when prosperity and that's when increase comes through. You say, our talents, I don't have time to give it to you, Lord. I need to give it to this organization or that organization. But he gave us everything. I got a question for you. How many of y'all show up to work 30 minutes late? How many of y'all call in to work because it's raining? or don't show up because the conditions aren't right. Yet you treat the house of God worse than you do your job. I'm encouraged. This don't feel like encouragement right now, but I'm trying to teach you something. Because if you want to walk, listen, we just talked about in God's presence, there is health, there is his financial security, there is peace, there is joy. So you say you want what God has for you. Well, I'm telling you today, if you walk this out, you'll get what God has for you. You got to prize and value his presence. And so you got to learn that, hey, it's not good enough for me to show up at church at 9:25 and consider that a worship service. You don't do that to work. Anything that you give more time than that, you put above God. And listen, I love my basketball games. I'll be watching it tonight. I love playing ball, and I love my wife and my kids. But they pale in comparison to my love for God. Because God is the reason why I have a TV to watch the basketball game. He's the reason why I have the wife that I have. He's the reason why I drive the car that I drive, live in the house that I live in. At the moment I decide to dismiss God, everything that he gave me should go with it. I remember my mama when we were kids. My brother was acting a fool. And he was 13 years old and trying to rise up against her. She said, oh, you think you grown now, huh? Get out of my house. And he was getting ready to walk out the house. You know how we packed this whole bag? Walking out with his clothes on, shoes, got the suitcase. She said, oh, no, 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 no. I gave you that. You take everything that I gave you off. And you can leave his house. That boy was on the porch in his, forgive me, this is North St. Louis, in his drawers and his t-shirt. And you know what the drawers and t-shirt represented? That represented grace, because he didn't buy that either. I value God. Because he's the reason I have the breath to get up and go to that job every morning. He is the reason why I have everything. Why can't I give him my praise? Why can't I give him my time? Why can't I show up on time? Yeah. I got to prize him. If I want God's presence, then I got to prize it. Why would I show up and you don't care? Why would I show up and you don't care? Why would God show up in your situation or show up in your house and you ignore the fact that he's there because you're too busy? God, speak to me. I need clear direction. I need your wisdom. I need your help. Click. Click. He said, when are you going to put down a remote so I can talk to you? We got to prize it. The next thing we've got to learn to do is we've got to protect it. Remember, this isn't about his presence is always with us, but this is about our experience with his presence. So we got to prize it, and then we got to protect it. What does that mean, protect? That means I set up guardrails in my life so that nothing in my life moves God out of the forefront of it. I have a rule. I don't ride alone with women, period. Unless it's my mom or my kids. My mother-in-law, that is. You know why? Because I don't want to do anything to offend the heart of God. Because when I get in my car and I put that song on, I want to sense something. I put up guardrails in my heart so that I don't walk in offense. Because if I'm offended in unforgiveness, he may be there, but I can't sense him. And so I put up guardrails in my life to protect it. Lord, help me when somebody dings me. Search me first. I want to just look at them. Because I don't want them laughing and dancing, and I'm off in somewhere mad. And I don't want to miss what you have for me, God. This thing is too big for me. There's too many people that have lives depending on what you've called me to do. I don't want anything to get in your way, God. God, put a hedge around my heart to protect it from offense and people that hurt me. And then I also put a guardrails for sin. I don't play around with sin. See, there was a day I used to play around with sin. Oh, no, we can go to the movies. You know what? Let's not go to the movies. Let's go back to my place. Let's watch a movie in the dark in my basement. Nothing's going to happen. Please. You're setting yourselves up. I'm not going to drink anymore. God, I'm done with that. Then why are you at the club? Why do you still have beer in your fridge? This is between you and God. This isn't because, listen, I got to protect this thing. I want to walk uninterrupted in his presence. I want to wake up in the morning and sense that he's there. I want to go to bed at night knowing that he's there. I want to know throughout the day that he's there with my kids, that he's there watching over me and protecting me. I gotta protect his presence. Psalms 51:10, created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. See, this is David after he'd sinned. And he valued the presence of God so much that he said, he didn't even pray, Lord, just save the child. He didn't just pray, Lord, just give me, help me look right in front of the rest of the kingdom. He didn't just pray, God, don't take the kingdom from me, because he was the king at the time. He said, Lord, more than this child, more than my position, more than this kingdom, I want you. Don't take you away, God. And it was in the middle of his sin with that kind of heart that God said, even though you deserve to have everything stripped away, because of your heart and value for me, I'm leaving it all with you, David. He said, you gotta protect. See, if somebody was ready to mess with your baby, you go all Bruce Lee on them. You do whatever it took to protect that baby. Why not do that for the presence of God in your life? And then the last thing. I'll say this. That thing you're struggling with, that thing that you've been trying to get over and get past, and you keep falling again and again and again, you get into his presence and you stay there, that thing will fall off you. The desire, the taste of that thing will fall off you, because you will be so intoxicated with his presence and his love that that thing that you thought was so great will lose its hold on you, will lose its sting in your life. And the last thing, you've got to practice it. So you got to prize it, protect it, practice it. Well, Pastor Tony, how do I practice God's presence? I'm glad you asked. See, when I practice it, it means, since he says he's always with me, since he says he's always there, he keeps his word. He's not a liar. He's there. But I want to know that he's there. So I have to become conscious or aware that he's there. So Pastor Tony, how do I practice being conscious and aware that he's there? You do it by faith. Lord, thank you that you're with me today. Even when your heart is broken, even when he seems so far away that you can't taste or touch heaven, you let your mouth say, thank you that you're with me. I'm hurting. I'm broken. But thank you that you're with me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to come out of this situation. But thank you that you're with me. And what I've learned to do, this is me, is I grab my favorite song. And whatever season that song is, because a song changes seasons. And I put that song on. And I begin to worship. And I say, thank you, you're with me. I've seen you move. You've moved mountains before. You'll do it again. God, you're awesome. God, you're wonderful. God, you're precious. God, I love you. God, I worship you. And you listen, you're doing all of that and you don't feel a thing. Your feelings are saying everything but that. And you still stay there. God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. And still, you don't feel a thing. So you go back and you say, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. And all of a sudden, a little something shifts in your heart and you begin to sing the song just a little louder. God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I adore you. And then something changes in your heart again and you say it again. But Pastor Tony, it's been an hour and nothing's changed. That's all right. Stay there. He's coming. Stay there. He's coming. Stay there. He's coming. And as I practice by faith, God, I don't feel you. God, I don't see you. But you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. You said in Hebrews 13:5, you will in no way fail me or forsake me. You said you would not, you would not, you would not in any way leave me without support. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my help. What can man do to me? And as I continue to practice, the presence walks in my room. And when the presence walks in, I'm back in the Garden of Eden all over again. When the presence walks in, healing walks in the room. Strength walks in the room. Life walks in the room. Provision walks in the room. When the presence walks in, I can smile again. I can laugh again. I can sing again.
Hope you enjoyed that message. If you live in the St. Louis area or ever plan to visit, we'd love for you to join us at one of our services at 4324 Margaretta at either our 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. Be blessed. We hope to worship with you soon.